I just need like 10 hours if I'm gonna look fresh-faced.
We get it. You work.
I'm the lead. I set the tone.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And good afternoon. Welcome to The Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera. I am guest hosting for Dory today, and it is so much fun. 2 hours in the can already, the last hour ahead of us, and I thank Dory for giving me this opportunity. While he is out salmon fishing, catching some pretty large salmon, correcting Nicole, because Dory said, Nicole said that Dory doesn't like salmon, he's just doing it for the sport, and that turned out to be incorrect. Dory loves salmon.
Apparently.
So the correction was issued by Nicole, not the guest host.
No. Nicole. No, Dory Nicole sent me a nasty video.
Nicole is keeping this train on the rails. But a little bit about me before we head into this last hour. I'm a journalist. I cover politics. I cover true crime, and I've been doing it for many, many years, either in radio as an author, as a television correspondent. For Warner Brothers, and I have some dabbling in now some limited series documentaries, which I'm not going to repeat more about it because I don't want to jinx myself. But Nicole, if it gets greenlit, I expect to be a guest on here.
Okay.
To talk
about. That
sounds
fun.
I know. So,
well,
busy.
I mean, I might have to review the content first, but, you know.
No,
I'll tell you.
You don't need to do your job and review the content. No, not at all. Not at all. Anyway, but I love talk radio. I love it because it's such an intimate and relational format. You get to speak to you, the audience, in a different way than television. I like television too, but it's there's so many like accoutrements to television. You have to go and get your hair done. You have to look nice. You have to and it's not focused on the content in radio. Doesn't matter if you show up here in your pajamas. Now, I mean, I didn't show up in my pajamas.
Well, there is a camera on there, so now it does. But typically, my new norm is yoga pants.
Hair. So there's a camera. I didn't even notice the camera right in front of me. Look at this stupid guest host.
I think that screen is busted. It's orange.
But in any way, I mean, we're radio. You really have to know the content. You have to be able to segue. You have to, and you. Because the audience can sniff out very fast if you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll move on.
It's hard to find fill-ins. There's not a lot of people that are willing to do radio these days. I mean, you're putting yourself out there.
You are. And I enjoy the discussion on politics and how it intersects with culture. And just in Seattle, it gives you so much. Unfortunately, it gives you content because it's just crazy all around us. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I was informed coming here, driving to the studio, that racism is a public health crisis. Right? I told you that.
Mm-hmm,
racism
mm-hmm,
is a public health crisis. So wear your mask so you don't catch racism. Mm-hmm. It's important. But what also was a public health crisis is the COVID-19, but it's on the decline because of vaccination that has increased in around the country, but certainly in this area. And we had a lottery winner, right? $1 million. Shot of the lifetime, it was called.
Right. Aaron, I think, has more on that winner.
And yeah. He's a 23-year-old dude from South King County.
23 years old.
Yeah, he's like my neighbor. I live in South King County. I was that close, I feel like.
Well,
now.
I think it's very interesting that all of the previous winners were on the east side of the state, and then the one that needs to show up for his $1 million prize just happens to be down the road from Inslee.
Well,
Come on.
So I find this quote, Aaron and Nicole, funny. Is Cameron says, and this was from Como News, Cameron says he got the shot because he wanted to protect himself, his friends, his family, and his peers.
Yeah, I'm sure a 23-year-old.
Okay, he's thinking about his peers.
I want to protect my peers.
Yeah, of course you did, buddy. Right. He says he didn't even know about the lottery until his mom got a call from the state. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I was listening to him, actually. So he blocks calls that he doesn't know. So he blocks scammers, essentially. And then they reached out to his mom, apparently. And his mom calls him up and says, Cameron, you should reach out because this seems legit.
What? I thought that if he didn't answer the phone in 24 hours, they call the next. So his mom ruined it for somebody else.
Yeah, and then Inslee's punchline was good advice to always listen to your mom, right?
I wouldn't have picked up the phone either. I get these calls either unknown or I don't recognize the number, straight to voicemail.
Because 99%
of the times it's spam. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, and real numbers are turning up as potential spam right now. All, like my dentist called me the other day. It says potential spam. So yeah, it's interesting. But I also, yeah, I think that he stole the money from us.
He stole. Well, here we actually have some audio of Inslee.
Oh, Inslee.
Inslee and Cameron.
Yep.
Inslee here is.
He's a fellow in his early 20s. He's a motorcycle mechanic.
He's a motorcycle mechanic in Israel. And I'm just trying to think, if I was, you know, in my, I was a 23-year-old. I'm 37 now. I was a 23-year-old. Imagine getting that call. You just won $1 million. What?
Right. That'd be it. Yeah. Oh,
so yeah. They didn't even know
the
about
worries
him, by the
worries would
way.
Melt yeah. away.
Yeah. Well, no. maybe. But, you know, you hear the stories often of people who've won the lottery.
Right.
And
but
then
I've learned from those people. I know what I would do with that money.
But I'm just saying, maybe it will be different with him because it doesn't seem like he's someone who's buying lottery tickets often. It just happened.
Right.
He was the winner.
Funny that he's South King County, too. They're not giving a specific city even for this guy.
Here's what he said about not even knowing it.
I didn't even know about this whole thing until I got the call, and I didn't even really believe it.
He sounds 23. Doesn't he sound young? Like, just, but.
I hope he invests.
Well,
wisely.
He continued at this press conference.
So they were giving out Xbox, PlayStation, and everything. And I was just like, why is mine so different? And they're like, no, you're the winner. I was like, oh, okay. And I got, that's when everything kind of stopped still. I was like, wow, I have to process this.
Well, he wanted the, no, buddy, you don't want the PlayStation. You want the $1 million.
Right,
buy
yeah.
a ton of PlayStations
mm-hmm.
With that. But, you know, I mean, good. Good for him. And it actually this lottery increased vaccinations by 24%. Now, did that surprise you, Nicole?
So they say.
So they say. And listen, there's healthy and rightful distrust with our institutions. I agree.
Well, I just think you can only measure that if you ask everyone why they're getting vaccinated after they announce the vaccine lottery.
That's a good point. And this guy didn't even know, right?
Right.
About the lottery. And said
he
wasn't.
He probably had the shot before that.
Well, he wasn't doing it because of the lottery.
Right.
Cameron. Right, by his own words. So, you know, how do you measure it? But let's say it's right. 24%. Do you think, did that surprise you that it increased by that much or?
Oh, no. I mean, people spend money on lottery tickets every day and they don't get a vaccine out of the deal. Like people are willing to do a lot of things for money. And so, no, it doesn't surprise me that people were willing to get the vaccine to win at the chance to win money like that.
So, I mean, Aaron, that raises an interesting point. Do you think that these individuals
and
were...
I'm not saying everybody makes that choice. I'm just saying there's people out there that would.
Do you think like these people were going to get their lottery tickets anyway and decided, might as well go ahead and get the vaccine too because I'm getting a free lottery ticket out there. Like, are these actual holdouts who have something against maybe the vaccine for right or wrong reasons, or do these people who it was just a bonus?
If you had a true, I'm not getting vaccinated because I don't think I need
the lottery
it,
ticket's not going to do
it. I don't want to do it.
No.
I don't think the lottery ticket
no,
did it. For
I agree.
You. But I agree if you're on the fence or if you're just lazy or something like that, yes, for sure, people could be like, "Oh, I want to get in the lotto. I'll just go get it now." But it's actually getting well. I don't know. I think that it's.
I'm gotta say what I'm uncomfortable about is taxpayer money going
mm-hmm.
for these, and it's not just in Washington State. I mean, you have
well, it's
Ohio.
Not just for that. I mean, we still they're spending a ton on advertising still, and just the push to get vaccinated is costing a lot.
It is costing, and at some point there's going to be diminishing returns. But don't worry, Joe Biden is going to send people. They're going to knock on your door, and they're going to see if you're vaccinated or not, and then they're going to get Johnny from the van to come out there and give you the jab in the arm. Because totally that's going to happen. You're going to be really comfortable when Johnny with the van comes out with his,
that's true.
With his kit.
How do they prove that they are? Oh, how do you prove that you're with the
This is why it does make any sense. Imagine you are a holdout. And listen, I have nothing. Let me say, I think there are legitimate reasons why people would feel uncomfortable getting something that is clearly experimental and is in an experimental stage. And to marginalize them or dismiss them as anti-vaxxers is disingenuous because there is people who are very learned and studied and medical professionals who have raised some interesting concerns. Okay, so I will say that I don't just dismiss people. out of hand, something that is that just can't, like, happened within the last year. I think it's remarkable progress, but, you know, Pfizer has had to pay out billions of dollars to settle class action lawsuits for medical malpractice in the past. So, you know, I can understand why people would weigh the risk. Having said that, say you're a holdout, and then one of Biden's agents comes to your door and says, I know you're a holdout. You want to get vaccinated. Oh, here's this guy from you never met before. You never met me. He's going to come and he has his toolkit. And he's just going to jab you in the arm. And you can pick whichever one, Moderna, Pfizer, or Johnson & Johnson.
And to be clear, they're not doing this in Washington yet. So
No, they're not doing it. But I'm just saying.
Don't anybody let anybody jab you in the arm.
but how do you verify, right?
Mm-hmm. I know.
How do you not turn this? Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know what the scam would be. You give, like, what would be on the receiving end of the stamp? I'm sure they'll turn it into
some drug that knocks you out and they rob you. I don't know.
You're giving them ideas. That actually could be.
Right? See, I don't like to talk about this stuff, Jason.
All right. Well.
True crime.
Good. Yeah, I'm sure
that's
that,
why I don't like that fake crime stuff, because it gives ideas.
Well, you know,
I'll watch
it
true crime.
It is true. And
there's
now a move within television executives that they, and just having been on some of these pitch meetings myself, is they look for like crazy stuff like Breaking Bad. And they're like, you know what? I bet you we can find Breaking Bad's out there. We can find the Skyler who decided, do I leave my husband? When I found, you know, I found out something seedy about him. Do I stay with him? What do I do? I'm in this moral predicament or dilemma. And they go ahead, basing off of you know, scripted TV, and they find real life situations of it. Happens all the time.
Ugh.
So yeah, those Breaking
Bad.
I
stopped watching Criminal Minds because I just got to the point where I was like, they're giving people ideas now. This at first it was more of a soap opera, drama, whatever.
Well,
and then
what was
it
was the show? What was the show
up,
like? How to avoid a murder? What was it?
How to make a murder?
How to make murder?
Not how to make a murder. It was about how to. It was on. I think it was on. It was.
This was fake or real?
No, this is fake.
Okay.
But it was, the show was on concealing a murder. I don't know. What we should, someone should Google it.
How to get away with murder?
How to get away with murder? There we go. Yeah. It was actually a show called How to Get Away with Murder. Many times I hate to say it, but they're like contracting actual people in law enforcement. Ugh. To give. You get advice on what would.
Sure. I mean, you could probably do that via.
Then again, I would say this. I've covered many stupid criminals over the years who have decided to who thought they can clean up their tracks. And clean up a crime scene by watching like Criminal Minds or something.
Right.
I've watched Law and Order 50 times this month. I got the ideas, you know.
I've seen Datelines where they've, you know, charged people because they Googled how do I murder somebody, how to get away with murder or whatever.
Or, but yeah, I mean, that's
just reading that book or watching that show might implicate you. So you're in trouble.
Oh, man. I don't know. What do we do? Oh, we still haven't got to the big lead yet.
I guess this is the big lead.
Oh, well, yeah.
Got a couple minutes left.
Let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top trending.
Top trending.
This is actually kind of a fun story, too. It's not really local.
It's kind of local. It involves Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Bezos is isn't Blue Origin, though, based here? Is it Kent?
Correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Ken. Okay, so it is local. Look at this. It's trending and it's local.
Okay.
His rocket is scheduled to launch in 4 days, I believe. The rocket is called the New Shepard, but the attention it is currently getting on social media is not that, you know, another person.
By the way, the New Shepard, are you not surprised it's not Climate Pledge Rocket? Why wouldn't he do that? Why does he make us call this
Stupid
Climate
arena,
Pledge Arena.
I'm a Pledge Arena.
But he doesn't call his own rocket a Climate Pledge Rocket.
It'd be a little ironic, don't you think? All that jet fuel and rocket fuel.
True, Pledge
Rocket.
Well, I'm sorry, the Climate Pledge Arena isn't being powered by solar panels. I mean, it's... Anyway, and canola oil. But so we have the New Shepard rocket. And I'm looking at a picture. I know, Nicole, you've seen a picture. I know, Aaron, you've seen a picture of this rocket.
I made
Sean,
sure
you have. And it's being... called out on social media because it looks like a phallic
something
symbol.
Out of the Austin Powers movies.
It looks like a
Austin
part
Power
of the male anatomy. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And the question though is, was this done on purpose? It had to be, right? I mean, I'm looking at this and it's unmistakably clear. That now we just saw Richard Branson go up with Virgin Galactic, his little spacecraft. We've seen SpaceX. None of them look like traditional rocket ships, sort of. You know, not
especially if you're Virgin Atlantic, you probably haven't even seen what these rockets really look like. Jeff Bezos's rocket. You know?
Well done. It was so easy, but not there until Sean said it.
Oh, Sean. But I had the comment. You didn't print the comment. There was some comments of how Jeff Bezos himself sort of looked like one, and therefore so does his rocket.
Oh my!
I know. We'll stop there.
Yeah,
but
probably get those.
Yeah, yeah. Right. The you know billionaires are having their space race amongst themselves, which I actually don't think is I don't think it's a bad thing. Why should taxpayers be doing it when you have these?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Let billionaires commercialize.
Bizarre.
Well, is it though?
I don't know. We can already go to space. So is there not something more useful that you can spend your money on, like Bezos, how he wants to save the planet? Can you not redirect?
You can't go to space. I can't go to space. His goal, and same thing with Elon Musk.
If you take the right drugs, you probably could get pretty close.
Just so more.
I'm not promoting drug use.
No.
More rich people could go to space.
No, but it's going to. But everything started out air conditioning, right? It started out with just rich people can afford cars. Rich people can afford. At some point, it's commercialized to a point where it's affordable for the common man, for the middle class.
Yes, and if you're going to trust that it's always that safe.
I am not. Listen, it would. I certainly wouldn't do this anytime soon.
Because you, like Ashton Kutcher, would give up your ticket because you're a young father or a father of young children and...
And that's what
Ashton
Kutcher did.
Willing to do.
Yeah, it's not a risk. It's like skydiving. For me, there is no point of jumping out of a perfectly functioning airplane.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the risk, like the risk reward scenario.
I did it, and it is pretty. It's an amazing experience, but I wouldn't do it if I had a young child.
I'm saying it's probably thrilling, and the same thing with going to space. But I'm telling you, 5 years from now, perhaps sooner.
Then you would trust the science?
No. People are going to be going up routinely.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get more economical. So I'm just saying I don't mind that Bezos and company are doing it because taxpayers aren't. So it's saving, even if it looks like a giant pea going up into space. But
it's very weird that passed the early on design.
You know it was on purpose, though.
You've also seen the Amazon spheres, right? You know what they call those.
True. So. Yep.
Bezos
you think they're all anatomically correct? There you go, Sean. Let's waste that joke.
I didn't think about that, but does Bezos have some weird thing?
Let's get Mackenzie.
Obsession?
That's his ex, right? Mackenzie. Let's get an interview with Mackenzie.
I guess.
She can.
That one made me nervous.
We got through
setting
it.
Setting up Sean
we
got for through, too many jokes.
We got
there,
through
and
it, and nobody got canceled here. Nobody came barging in to shut the microphone down. That can't happen here on Cairo. All right, I'm just a guest host. You can blame me. And Sean, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. When we come back, we have awesome audio, and it truly is awesome. We're going to get to that in a flash. Stay with us. And welcome back. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson today as Dory is out doing some fishing.
This is our special Friday, almost the end of the day segment. Segment.
I mean, we got two segments left.
It's dead
now. Two segments left, and then you're like, I don't like this guy, Jason. That's right, just two segments left. And you got Dory back on Monday, right?
Right.
There you go. See, that's the benefit of being a guest host. Not permanent.
Okay, it's hard for you to even come back from this music. It's so relaxing.
It is relaxing. I just want to kind of zone out and get on a couch. And does Dory do it, this music, every day?
Every Friday at
this point?
2:30.
Okay. Because it's sort of the end of the day.
It's like the Vegas pool music, you know?
It is.
Very chill.
Okay. Why do you like this music, Sean?
I like Deadmau5 as an artist, and I don't really remember how this sort of got into the fold here. I think Dory just kind of
happened.
It just happened, you know.
Mm.
how many people have children. It just happened.
Okay, that was not a segue, and neither is this. This is not going to be a segue for what we're going to talk about. Joe Biden, this was maybe within the last hour. But let me set it up. So yesterday, Jen Psaki, the press secretary, was laying out a multi-pronged approach for how the government can get Facebook to start censoring what they called misinformation and literally banning people from Facebook. They identified 12 people they considered giving misinformation on vaccines, which if you look at the people and who do vary, but what the government considers, this is a very dangerous precedent, the government asking a private entity to censor individuals, is essentially turning Facebook into government censors. Whether you agree with what these people have to say is not the point. I mean, I can go on the internet and find opinions on a host of issues. I can go on Facebook and find opinions on a host of issues. That doesn't mean automatically it's going to inform how I'm going to act on something. But to go ahead and just censor people, this is textbook fascism, using private entities to compel particular lines of thought and allowable speech. This is, if Donald Trump ever did something like this, they would be rightfully outrage across the media. But Joe Biden does it, and we have a compliant media. We have a compliant press. We have lapdogs, local and national. Oh my gosh, they just look at themselves as activists to advance an agenda, and they share the worldview of whether it's Jay Inslee or whether it's Joe Biden. So Jen Psaki then is confronted about it today about, singling out people, following them on Facebook, and then encouraging Facebook to ban them and deplatform them. And she doubled down on it this morning.
Providing for Facebook or other platforms to measure and publicly share the impact of misinformation on their platform and the audience it's reaching. Also with the public, with all of you, to create robust enforcement strategies that bridge their properties and provide transparency about rules. You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
See, she wants people. So if you're banned from Twitter, you should also be banned from Facebook. If you're banned from Instagram, same thing, banned from Twitter. She wants, this is a government agent asking social media companies, big tech monopolies, who are pipelines of information to censor speech they do not like. That is very, very dangerous, because it would be like, especially with social media, where these aren't just like, it's not like Facebook, how it started. Oh, here's some pictures of me and my friends. No, these are actually pipelines of information. This is how many people get their news. Facebook and Twitter, YouTube, Google search. I mean, these, and they have monopolies on these pipelines. It's like asking, and that's why I believe they should be treated like utilities. Right? AT&T or Comcast can't deny you service because you're a conservative or you think a certain way. Even if you are conspiratorial, the government has no business to censor you. And yet we have lapdogs in the press who are cheering this on, saying the only information you can get is from state experts, our experts. And yet these experts have been routinely wrong, whether the virus originated in the Wuhan lab, going back and forth on masks. It doesn't even have to do with coronavirus. You go, Hunter Biden, remember anyone who, the New York Post, their social media account on Twitter and Facebook were frozen, suspended, because they were reporting on what we know to be true now. And Hunter Biden's laptop, it was considered disinformation by the experts. The reason why there is zero trust in the expert class is because of these tactics. Zero trust. And here Biden is just within the last hour, is asked by a reporter on his thoughts on Facebook and social media killing people. That's right, killing people. And here's what he had to say.
What's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people.
Oh.
I mean, it really, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
Are we in the
Facebook is killing people. Nah, that's not hyperbole. I'm surprised he didn't finish it. That's not hyperbole. Just like having voting ID laws that say you have to show, approve who you are before you cast a ballot. Oh my gosh, that's like the Civil War. It's like Jim Crow. No hyperbole. Facebook is killing people because they are allowing, and it's not even all the time, because I do censor people plenty of times, but because they have information that the government doesn't approve. I don't want the government to be the arbiter of what's true and what's false. I don't want the government, some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., to say what information I can consider and what information I can't. Science is not like a god. Oh, the science says. No, it's a tool. And depending on your assumptions, your entry, your data points, you can come to different conclusions, which we saw robustly over the last year. But no, Facebook, and you know what? If Facebook starts to censor people and deplatform people because of so-called misinformation, then it is their death knell, because then they are acting as agents for state censorship, and these lawsuits, one famously just brought by Donald Trump, can succeed if private entities are, it can be proven that they're acting at the behest of the government to censor speech that the government does not like. So go ahead, Facebook, do it. You're only accelerating your death. Having said that, we have another update.
I know that you love this so much. I just want to keep finding
culture. Cancel. Yes.
This is your cancel culture update.
Okay. Earlier in the show, we told you how crossword puzzles, they are racist. You never thought they were racist, but they are indeed racist, according to the Atlantic magazine. Well, Princeton now has a course. This is from campusreform.org. Princeton offers a course, is what it's presenting as, solutions to combat the racial biases built into technology and building anti-racist solutions to technology. Interesting. Okay. You piqued my interest here. What are some of these racist technologies? Well, you and I come across these racist technologies every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. Soap dispensers are considered, I kid you not, this is a direct quote from a group called Can We Build Anti-Racist Technologies? I'm sorry. That's the name of the student group. Can We Build Anti-Racist Technologies?
Is this really a full class?
At Princeton. Oh, yeah. It's an entire course.
This could be a discussion for 15 minutes, which we're going to do.
We're
going to
have, because it's not racist. Because soap, this is how it is. From soap dispensers that don't see dark skin. Stop you right there. I was under the impression, could be wrong, because I've been in bathrooms with black people, with brown people, and I've never seen them have an issue with the soap dispenser. Because,
well, and if there was, like, that could be a problem. But I mean, just say, hey, could you guys fix these soap dispenser technologies?
But
is this really a class?
But wait a second, it's a sensor related.
Movement.
That means yes. It has nothing.
It's not your phone.
No, it's not. Well, it's not your phone. It's not facial technology. Like, you don't go to the soap dispenser, stick your face there, and then the soap starts to dispense.
If it's a really dark bathroom, maybe.
No, but it's all movement.
I know. But it's like, you know, then it's not going to recognize anybody. If it's that dark, then it's not seeing anybody.
Well, it's like when you open up, when it has automatic lights in a bathroom. You open up the door, you walk in, it senses this movement, the lights turn on. Same thing with soap dispensers.
Right.
But apparently, soap dispensers need to be canceled because,
like everything else,
they are racist. And that is your cancel culture update.
Canceled.
Didn't say that right. You want to try that again?
Wait. I have to try that one again.
Remember, you,
I don't
you
remember.
Sean.
I'm the guest host. What do
That's
I say?
That's why soap dispensers are.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do it again.
Yeah.
All right, forget that just took place. Rewind.
Okay.
And that's why soap dispensers are
canceled.
There we go.
That felt really good.
But really,
that was a good
do
one.
We
that
need
was
a, we did a class. It is shocking to me.
And you know, this is taking place at Princeton.
People are Princeton, where you're spending.
No, but they're not. There's not smart kids. We're assuming that people who go to Princeton are smart. I'm sorry, if you would waste money and your time taking a class on racist soap dispensers, you are not smart. You are wasting your money. You are, you know, you have $100,000 in debt for no reason to have what? Oh my gosh, I'm going in for my first job interview and I can sit and wax eloquent on the racist motivations of those who created soap dispensers.
Unbelievable.
I'm telling you, Ivy Leagues are not what they used to be. Just not what they used to be.
Got awesome audio in that.
We do. I missed, you know, I when I previously
it used to be in this segment.
It used to be in the last segment. Now
I appreciate that you remember that.
I do. So we have awesome audio coming up next, and it's our Chick-fil-A edition because Chick-fil-A is delicious, but some people don't think so. Some people are very hostile still to Chick-fil-A, and we are going to tell you why when we get back on the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. Let's just get right into the awesome audio of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio, clips of the week.
So I got to say, this one was both humorous and annoying that these type of squabbles are still going on. Chick-fil-A, which has been the ire of the left for years now, is still getting pushback every time they try to open up a restaurant at a new location. This time, out of all places, Notre Dame, which is a Catholic university. I know it's Catholic in name only, but still, nonetheless, they say in their mission statement that they abide by Catholic tradition and Orthodox Catholic values. Well, Chick-fil-A opening up a location on their campus should be no big deal. In fact, not only do they respect the Sabbath, right? The Sunday is off for them and their employees to spend time with their families. And it's not all about consumerism and all about making money. I mean, this should be a well-respected value, an admirable value. But of course, it's not that. It's that Chick-fil-A supports organizations that also have Christian values. And the one that roils them the most is that of marriage. Oh, so, I mean, these people get shocked that Christian organizations still support the idea that God made man and woman and told them to marry each other and cleave to each other and become one flesh, not man and man and woman and woman. I know they get like just freaked out. Oh my gosh, Christians who believe Orthodox Christian teaching. You don't have to agree with it. But Chick-fil-A does in their founders, as a founder of Chick-fil-A and also in the organizations that they support, which is the Salvation Army, by the way, too. It's, you know, it's ludicrous that these people pick fights with Chick-fil-A. But anyway, Chick-fil-A is this big uproar or Notre Dame because a Chick-fil-A came and there's this one little Zoomer brat. Here is what she had to say about Chick-fil-A opening up on her campus.
We just think that we should have a say as a private university or students at a private university in what sort of food is served on campus and the causes that impacts.
And guess what? There was a say. There was a petition generated by, you know, a little brat like this woman, Tilly, who wanted to stop Chick-fil-A's construction on campus. And they have a university of 8,500 people, right? 8,500 students.
Right, about that. Mm-hmm.
On campus. I know you know the answer, Nicole, so don't say it. But Sean, out of 8,500 people, how many students do you think signed this petition to stop Chick-fil-A on campus?
Out of 8,500?
Yes.
I'm going to say 500.
200 people.
Wow.
200
people. Funny, because of course you have a say, because if nobody buys chicken, then they won't serve chicken, and they won't have a Chick-fil-A. But if 300 people do, then they do. Well, and they do have a say. So that statement, her statement is
so
wrong.
I know. Chick-fil-A is opening. I know. I can't believe Chick-fil-A is opening up. Chick-fil-A is delicious. I think I may get some Chick-fil-A after the show to celebrate.
Really quick, this. Play the guy that likes chicken. Since we're not getting to all the awesome audio.
Oh, here we go.
I just love the food. I just love like the, you know, the company, their values. I love how just like loving they are. It feels like a family when you walk in. Having that on campus would be really cool. And yeah, I just love, who doesn't love a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, a Chick-fil-A milkshake?
Who doesn't love it?
They had a say.
Their service is great. I hate going to McDonald's. Their service is terrible. Chick-fil-A, big smile. Jason Matera here. You know it's true. You know it's right. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. You can catch me on Facebook, Twitter, at Jason Matera. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Sean. And thank you, Dory. We expect to taste some of that delicious salmon.
I don't believe it. They've managed the impossible. What an achievement. Bravo, bravo.
What? You mean you actually like this show now?
No, they've made the show even worse.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.